listening to Donald Byrd opening up on this favorite tune of mine titled Slow Drag. It was actually recorded in 1967, but he made it his title track for his 1968 album. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're going to be debating today, but before we get to that, just to help you make some sense of what it is we're supposed to be doing at this time in our lives. And the first thing is to remain calm and to see the situation for what it is and to have it remind us that the number one task that we have is to remain centered and focused about getting our act together. This country is being ruled, if I dare use the term ruled. It is being ruled by a bunch of people who may not necessarily know what they're doing, but have the wherewithal to call the shots on how the rest of us are to live. And our job is to make sure that, irrespective of their so-called authority to do that, we have to fashion our own strategies for survival. I keep talking about it all the time. Survival is the number one imperative that we all have to follow. And based on what we have been observing in terms of the conduct of government, or what people believe ought to be the conduct of government, we'd be crazy to put our lives and our destiny in their hands. We'd be smart to put together systems that work for us. And the hope is that there would be enough of us to galvanize this idea that the way these people are operating is contrary to any notion about fairness and what's good in the collective sense. They're seeking and looking after their own interests. Our interests, and the number one thing on that list, is our survival. So don't lose track. Keep reminding yourself that that's what you have to do. You have to see to your own survival. All right. Well, let's get to the subject at hand today. We have a new book on the scene titled Fear, Trump in the White House, by noted investigative reporter Bob Woodward. And the good news is that he appears. I don't have a copy of the book. I've only read excerpts that have been printed. But it appears that he has considered devoted considerable amount of time and energy in putting this book together to explain how the White House is run, how it operates under the supposed leadership of Donald J. Trump. Bob Woodward, for those of you who may not be familiar with his name, earned his kudos back in the day when he did a lot of investigative work. And one of the things for which he is well noted is the book that led to the impeachment and resignation of Richard Nixon. This book, similarly, it seems, won't have us resting easy. It details the almost daily frenzied efforts by President Trump's top aides and staff to head off major catastrophes that tend to originate from one main source, that being Donald Trump's dysfunctional mind. It is not the first time that Trump's mental acuity has been called into question, but the time has come, I think, for open debates on the subject. And so we'll try that today. As you know, I said early on, it's documented, it's on record. I did say there's something wrong with this man. And I made it clear that it was something of a mental or psychological nature. It was so clear to me that the president's way of operating can only be described as bizarre. And it is natural that there would be a link. If you have some bizarre person, some bizarre mind controlling things, you'll have bizarre stuff happening. But you know, the interesting thing in this country is that people would see what is happening and absolutely deny it. They won't recognize it. They won't talk about it. And they resign themselves to just hoping for the best. Yeah, well, if you're a white man in this country, you are afforded that level of consideration. But we have, and we can't deny the racial aspect here, the race-based aspect here. Donald Trump could never be a black man or a Latino behaving this way, conducting business this way, running the country this way, and people just, stand there and do nothing. Refusing to say there are so many indicators that he is not just off balance, but way off balance. And whether as the head of a corporation or the head of state of this country, this should not be allowed. The excerpts that I read talked about even the staff having to invent ways to remove documents and papers from the president's desk to prevent him from signing things that were just detrimental to the country, but would become policy with his signature. I mean, they're admitting, at least Woodward is documenting in this book, how close this country comes to disaster and catastrophe practically every day. And without us knowing it, there are people running interference, trying to avert. It's like trying to avert a nuclear bomb going off. That's the level of catastrophe that could happen or might have happened without their intervention. So the question is, can we or should we continue to trust a person who is the head of state who is not in his right mind, or whose actions seem to suggest that he needs serious counseling? And then on another level, it brings to mind the question, if this is happening, it could be argued that on a daily basis, the president isn't really in charge of this country. We have a whole web of people doing all kinds of things to, to head him off at the pass, because he is likely at any time to do something so crazy, so stupid, so averse to logic that he can put this country in danger almost any day. And they have to watch him, they have to babysit him. It means then that it is a legitimate question that should be asked, what exactly is the state of Donald Trump's mind? You may recall that we talked about this report by a group, a national group of psychiatrists and psychologists expressing concern about the president, the state of his mind, expressing concern that he's deteriorating mentally, or he is finally acting out full force these same feelings that he had been forced to keep a lid on. But now that he's president, he's enjoying the opportunity to just let go and do his thing the way he wants to do his thing, whether people like it or not. Not caring that he's actually not the owner of the United States, and even in that sense, he still would be somebody that we shouldn't be concerned about. But he's a steward of this country. And he does have to account for the decisions that he's making, the impact, not just within the United States, but outside of the United States as well. And all around, we're seeing more and more that people are expressing deep concern about the mental acuity, the mental stability of our chief of state, our head of state. So, this is the question that I want to have us take a look at today. Should mental fitness be a requirement for the office of the President of the United States? Seeing what we've seen, knowing what we have experienced and continue to experience under Donald Trump, dare we ignore this idea of mental instability being central to how this country is run? Dare we believe, no matter what the evidence is telling us, that we simply have to trust what the president says and does? Because after all, he is the president. And he has power and authority over us. He has enormous influence in world affairs. Do we just simply continue to trust this? Or do we need to be reasonably sure that the president, in and of himself or herself, if it should come to that, is capable or should be trusted with making good judgments? Or do we have, as in the case of Donald Trump, clear evidence, we don't need to doubt it, that there is something dramatically wrong with him mentally? And in any other scenario, this would be a cause of concern in any other scenario. An employer would tend to be apprehensive about hiring somebody who openly demonstrates behaviors that are troubling, that are not conducive to the workplace and what people are trying to achieve in the workplace. An employer would be correct in being concerned about that. Anybody in authority, especially in a very sensitive situation, I think would be on point in measuring the psychological and emotional stability of people who in turn have authority to do things that could affect larger groups of people. You want that. We've talked about it in reference to the police department. There is a link, it is undeniable, between the psychological profiles of police officers and serious things like killing civilians, harming them, or officers harming themselves, committing suicide. These things are very, very important. So we're going to talk today about this question: should mental fitness be a requirement for the office of President of the United States? Your thoughts at 888-874-4888. I'd like you to frame your answer, paying attention strictly to the question. We don't want you going off on, side trips. Stay with the question and prove your point. We don't want you being general, just being a generalist today. We want you being specific about this question, because the next leg of this race is how do we get whatever it is you think or whatever it is you're recommending, how do we get that done? How do we secure the minds of the people? What do we do to suggest to them that the person who is at the helm of this country understands what he or she is doing, and that we can rest easy with them being in charge? 888-874-4888. We'll start that. We'll take this little break. Well, let's start now because we do have people online now, and let's not waste time. Bruce from New York, you're on the air.
Hello, Yutris.
Hello.
Yeah, hello. How are you today?
Okay, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Yutris, if this goes for me to constrain my answer to the parameters that you have laid out, it seemed to me that it was obvious from the beginning, or maybe even before Donald Trump approached the presidency, that something was wrong with him. And at the same time, I do believe that Trump is a creation of this country. I think it is impossible to separate these two questions. Trump is no, is not, people try to see Trump as an outlier, but I don't believe so because other things are happening. And you're asking me not to broaden the question, but I can only understand Trump if I understand the circumstances around him. And if I can, if I may just give one example, for instance, right? We have a Congress and a Senate that we know, you know, is on the take from corporate interests, right? And that we know that they spend 90% of their time trying to raise money to fight the next election, right? And they're not particularly interested in serving ordinary people. They serve corporate interests and that type of thing. And we know all these things, and these things have been going on for a long time. Is that not a form of madness as well? And is the madness of Donald Trump that we are seeing manifest now not a manifestation of a deeper societal madness? And is it not impossible to deal with Trump unless we deal with the deeper madness? It's just like an illness, for instance. I mean, how we believe
I'm appreciating
in
I'm appreciating the overview, but I want you to get to the heart of the question. The situation which you've outlined and with which I agree with the, you know, the way this country, the polity of this country has been developed, and we've grown to accept it as it is. We also are being conditioned to accept that it won't change. Get that. But in the meantime, this relates to the specific question of the President of the United States clearly not having a grip on his own daily life, let alone the life of the country. Do we need something, some kind of assurance, some kind of a buffer, some kind of a protection as the citizens of this country that would make us feel a little bit better about the fact that the person elected as President of the United States is pretty much centered, well-centered?
I mean, you know, in the best of all worlds, you know, somebody behaving like Trump should immediately be brought to you know, psychiatric, should be given a psychiatric remedy, or psychiatric remedy should be recommended. But how do you do that when you're talking about the most powerful man in the country, a man who believes that that his brain is so good that, that without him, the country, the economy would fail and that type of thing? I don't know how you can tell a man like this, well, look, I mean, you have you are mentally ill, and in the absence of systems where you can threaten to remove him from office because of his illness, the system provides for that. That's not going to happen in any serious way. I don't know how.
But,
well,
but understand
you can
approach the remedy. I'm not thinking of this as being specific to Donald Trump. I'm thinking beyond Donald Trump. The next election, what might be done in a proactive way to tackle this question, and will it stand a chance? Will it be necessary? Will people be okay with it? The idea that in the same way that, you know, when you get a driver's license, in one way or the other, we are screened. They want to know whether you have good vision, you know. They want to know that you have passed a driving test, which is part of the system of trying to assure both the Department of Motor Vehicles, but beyond that, the larger community, that we have people on the road who are, we've taken a look at them and we think that they qualify and they meet these minimum standards of being good drivers. What can we do to assure the people of the United States, let alone the world, that the person who's at the head that our head of state is in reasonably good shape mentally.
Well, maybe we may want to introduce a physical as a requirement, and as another requirement that that he takes a physical by some type of independent institution, once a year. I mean, he has there's some type of physical being done now, but there's no legal requirement for that. And the mental acuity, I mean, is not a particularly salient aspect to the medical that's being done right now. It's a very difficult question. But we had Ronald Reagan, for instance, and I've read that Ronald Reagan had Alzheimer's for the last 2 years of his presidency, for instance,
Yes,
So it's
yes.
not that we do not have a history in comparing this. The difficulty is that the personality is different. Whereas Ronald Reagan might have been sedate enough to take advice from people around him, I am unsure whether and for how long Donald Trump could be controlled in the way that he's being controlled now by the people around him. So I
But the
basically
question
don't
is,
have much.
there should have been an intervention. He said, and you're correct, it was said that Ronald Reagan had Alzheimer's for the last 2 years of his presidency. And therefore, the country was being run by unelected people who made their best judgment and propped up this president, knowing that he was, dealing with this disease. Was that right? Was that legal? How do we prevent this from happening? Right now, according to the book from Woodward, the excerpts that I read, on any given day, people are making decisions that they have no authority to make, but they're doing it in their minds as a defense mechanism. To protect, literally, they said, to protect the country
Yeah, and
from
that's illegal.
it's illegal, but on another level, it's also it's a lie, it's a myth, it's a deceit that we have a president who is in full control of everything, reasonably in control of everything. He could still have his
You see.
advisors and so forth, but when you reach a point where the judgment of the head of state is so impeded or mistrusted or distrusted, even by his aides who find it necessary to intervene to prevent major catastrophes from happening, we have a national crisis, it seems to me.
Yeah, well, I agree with you totally. I'm told that the 25th Amendment speaks to this issue, but the 25th Amendment depends on people appointed by Trump in order to take action, and that is very unlikely to happen. The only other idea I may offer is that we may have to consider whether or not, and this goes to the other discussion you have to have, whether or not we should invest the collective power of the people into one man. I am not at all, I don't think democracy as it's structured can go much further generally. But to invest all our power in one man and find that that man is so powerful that he can prevent attempts by us in order to assess him to see whether he can do the job. Is problematic.
Well, thank you for getting us started today. Thanks, Bruce, for
All
your
right.
call. We go next to South Carolina. Khalil, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hello
Well,
there.
beautiful day. I love the callers. I love PRN, and everyone loves your
Thank you.
show. There's an old saying that rich people can be eccentric, but poor folk are crazy. Now, and I'm going to answer your question directly. We have to set up, there has to be something I'm not quite sure if it has to be constitutional, and I'm afraid it might be. And that's what we're running into is the Constitution here. Anyway, a board of people, a nonpartisan board of people have to certify that the candidate is mentally fit. And that would include, as you intimated, interviewing, people around him, people who've dealt with him or her over the years. And I want to go back to your comment, because we talked about this before, but it's a shame the way that committee of mental health professionals, that their testimony and their report, which was done in an empirical fashion, you know, these are professionals, and they went against the grain. They went against the Goldwater rule, which we have found out is somewhat porous. So when you hear people say, no, you can't judge someone from a distance, that's not entirely true, because we're looking at observable behaviors. And we're talking about this particular person who's been in the spotlight for decades, especially if you're from or around the area. He's been on our radar for a long time, and it's not new. In other words, it's like a longitudinal study. So it's nothing new. But and like you said, you see, this is to prevent what's happening now, because there's no remedy now, because the Republican House is not going to do anything about this, because they're getting what they want. But and you know, I think you led us into this question in a nice way, in that you made it analogous to law enforcement, because we have a lot of unstable law enforcement out here, and they have the power of everyone's life in their hands, because they shoot to kill. And here we are dealing with the leader of the free world, as we call it, and he has the power to just decimate the whole world because he's having a bad day. Trump is one person. Now we understand he's a mentally ill fascist, and now the Alzheimer's and or dementia are starting to manifest, and you can see it in his affect, in his eyes. It's something. And see, what happens is that people's personality, a lot of times, people's personality foibles become more magnified as that type of mental illness kicks in.
But I want you to get to the point. I want you to get to the an answer of some sort about what can be done to assure that the head of state we can kind of trust. I mean, we shouldn't just outright trust anything, but we can rest reasonably assured that he's got his mind together.
Well, you mean in the future, or are you talking about now?
In the future.
Oh, in the future. Okay. Well, once again, we have to get folks who may be involved in politics and mental health, okay, to make recommendations, but it would have to be a multi-member board of mental health professionals. And they would have to certify.
We've had mental health professionals issue a very public, very detailed analysis of Donald Trump's mental profile. And
okay,
it is troublesome.
That's after the fact, Eutrese. That's what I'm saying. And now we're dealing with the Constitution. That's after the fact. The man is president now. The only thing that we're running into this now is if the vice president and enough members of the House start to invoke the 25th Amendment, I believe it is. And that's probably not going to happen, not until the House changes. Hopefully the House will change with this next election. Then we can start that talk. And so really there's nothing. That's what's frightening. There is nothing.
Is this in your view? Do you find it an essential component in deciding who would be the president of a country, of our country?
Well, that's
mental
acuity. You must have, you must have mental acuity and be focused, of course. How can you be leader of the most powerful country on earth and not be mentally stable? And here's a rhetorical question. when was the last time you heard anyone of any stature, a leader of a corporation, a mover and shaker, someone of the power elite, proclaim themselves in the course of their duties, knowing they're being taped on the dais, okay, proclaim themselves to be a stable genius?
Well, we know that that was symptomatic of what's wrong with the president, an inveterate narcissist. But we're looking at it from a point of view of being an integral part of this whole process of selecting a leader. A leader who we know would be playing a major role on the world scene, making decisions about wars, making decisions about nuclear war, making decisions about where the country will be going, irrespective of the will of Congress. So that requires some kind of assurance that, okay, we may have political differences, but, we're reasonably okay. It's with the president's mental acuity. It's just like being on the road. We may have some real crazy people on the road, but it is our judgment that the entity charged with determining the skill of the average motorist has done its job to screen these people, to approve these people. So we're on the road, nonetheless, with the really incompetent drivers, but we don't believe that that is the case that we have to live with every single day. We have some kind of a buffer that says, well, the Department of Motor Vehicles tested their eyesight, tested their driving skills, and so forth. So the basics, they've done some things.
Here's the remedy. We see that the screening process is flawed. We understand there is a physical in terms of they look at your physical body, doctors do when you're about to be president. There is no mental health screening. We need that. And so the only remedy now, and maybe it will help Congress and the House, is to call our congressmen and representatives and demand this is something everyone should be able to agree on. Because anyone of good faith has to know that this man is not mentally fit. He hasn't been, but it's really bad now. I mean, it's very bad now. It probably has been bad for a while. And like you said, who's really running? When does he work? But that's a whole other issue. But yeah, so we have to demand that Congress right now, before we have another, we only have a few years before another election, 2 years. So we have to get this on the books now. And we can, but we have to call our representatives and our congressmen, because there is nothing that we can do constitutionally unless the House starts invoking measures toward the 25th Amendment, which is very difficult. It's like, that's like writing an amendment for the Constitution. That's almost impossible. And I appreciate what Bruce was saying about what he's talking about almost as a parliamentarian system. But that would rework the Constitution. That's not going to happen. So it's sad, but that's where we are.
Well, thank you, Khalil, for your considered opinion today. Thank you so much. We're going now to another Bruce from Queens. You're on the air.
Yes. Good afternoon, Eutrice, and good afternoon to the PRN family.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon to you.
All right, my take on it, and I probably need some help, fixing this up a little bit or putting it in perspective, but they have to make the Constitution come alive. They have to make the Constitution, because it's already there, Article 1, Section 3, Paragraphs 6 and 7, about Trump, not Trump per se, but a president that's out of order and got mental problems. They have to legislatively write down what to do if you run into a person like Ronald Reagan, who's got dementia, or a person that's way off base and doing things crazy and not behaving, being a representative of the people, for the people, by the people of the United States of America. There should be a czar that medicals are, that checks on that to be activated when he's he or she is out of place. And they should be right, it should be written in as an amendment, like the brother alluded to, just the caller just went off, and the other call, the other Bruce that mentioned that Constitution of Parliamentary ways of doing things. It has to be written because this is the first time a president acted like Trump ever. So they have to start getting on it. Like Al Green, I think he's from Texas, and I think he's a senator
yes.
or a congressman.
He's a congressman.
A congressman. He had hit me to Article 1, Section 3, Paragraph 6 and 7 on Trump and his shenanigans. But they have to make the Constitution come alive. It's already there. But if they just say, I swear to defend and protect the Constitution of the United States, it's just lip service. You got to breathe life into that and make it come alive. And people that know that Trump is wrong have to step up to the plate legislatively, bring him down, and put him in a mental institution to just get evaluated. That's my spin on it.
I'm scared of you. Put him in a mental institution.
Yeah, because he's off base.
Well, you know, let's be clear. How many people do you think are like Trump in this country walking around? A whole bunch of us are off base. But the question is, what is a sensible way to intercede and to, you know, be taken seriously about this? We had the psychiatrists, remember, they were pilloried when they came out with their report. I shared that with the audience. When they, you know, they documented certain behaviors that they believed to be symptomatic of a person in great psychological distress. Instead of regarding this report as, you know, a place to start, the Psychiatrists right. Association was just lambasted. It's like, who are you working for? You know, are you an agent of the Democrats? And, you know, it got to be that kind of a discussion, which moved outside of this business of, you know, you have some serious professionals with many, many years of experience. And this is right. what they are alerting the nation to. The president is in psychological trouble. And do we dare risk the country by leaving him in place? And now we're learning from Bob Woodward's book, which will come out on September 11th, 9/11. Deal with that. But he's saying on a daily basis now, daily basis, people around Trump are putting out fires all over the place. And
taking documents off his desk so he don't see him, he don't even remember. Yeah. And so, see, here's the thing. Two things come to my mind, Eutrice, is you have to enforce the Constitution. And you have to have a person that is only activated or some kind of screening you have to go through to handle this in this particular instant. Because you had mentioned, I think last week, what do we feel about Trump? My whole thing was, who got those nuclear keys and those keys to activate all this to kill the whole planet? Somebody needs to be around him 24/7 that just wait. If he do something stupid, they got to. That's when the czars just step up and take him to the mental institution. You absolutely out of your mind. You think he's going to destroy Korea, could destroy the whole planet because, you know, because the words he said, Korea will meet stuff that they would never ever see before on the likes of whatever he said that never before seen on Earth. Who are you going to release that on? The whole planet suffers when you try to do something like that. I think there should be legislation drafted up where they have a czar to watch the president. I don't know. It could be somewhere. I don't know how. I think that's why I said we got to work it out, tweak it out. Somebody that's in charge when people get out of line like this, step in and come, you know, like they had this record when I was coming up called They're Coming to Take You Away, Ha Ha. he has to be taken away and run through a battery of tests psychologically, physically, to see if he's fit. We had touched on this before. And they have to do that.
Let me ask you this. What about the flip side of the coin, that this very thing that we are discussing here today, mm-hmm. that there ought to be some body, some unit in charge of assessing the president's, whoever the president is, assessing the president's mental fitness?
Yes.
Inevitably, it will come up that that unit or that person might just be a foil for other political interests. And by that, I mean, they would be used to torpedo a president who may not, I mean, he may have regular problems like we do, but not to the extent that we're seeing in Trump, but would use that authority to torpedo a president.
I think we should have, when that czar or that person or that entity is put into place, they should have checks and balances on that. It has to be watched. It shouldn't be just laid out there, put out there, because when that person is activated to check out the president, he or she has to be have checks and balances on their capabilities of carrying out, and they can't be partisan. You know, I think they have to be, it's just there for the mental capacity of the president. And there's not nothing more than that. It's not, they can't be connected in the, you're almost like a federal judge. You can't, you're there to interpret law. You're not there with your opinion. You have to do your job, and that's, your job is what you do.
Oh.
That's what I think of the flip side of it.
Well, thank you. I thank you for your very considered opinion. 888-874-4888. As we round out the hour, E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call, Eutrice.
Thank you for calling in.
I keep thinking we spent a lot of time talking about Democratic and Republican, that they were the same party. It's one party system, and there's a corporate system that's running the government and the media and the military and the police, and it's a global thing.
And yes, I want you to get specific and stay on point today. I want you to deal with the question at hand. What can be done in a situation that we are discovering about the possibility that a president is mentally out of control? What do we do?
Not the first time in history that this is the case, but you know, whether he is or he isn't, he's just a puppet being used by the system to get us to think.
But that does not give us an answer.
I know, but
what do we do in a situation where the head of state is exhibiting behaviors that are considered even by professionals and by regular folks to be out of order, out of bounds? What is to be the response?
Okay, let me just put it in. Suppose you were Bill Gates or Soros. Would you be concerned as you are now about Donald Trump being crazy if you had all this billions of dollars? And that wouldn't it be more important to you if you would have all these billions of dollars to want to have somebody that was sane in office?
But guess what? This is not about, I understand the point that you're getting to, but in the end, there's just one Bill Soros, George Soros, as opposed to there are millions of Americans. What do we do as a nation I'm not getting into the hypothetical and the theoretical or even the philosophical here. I'm trying to get a working idea about how do the people get reassurances of the mental stability and acuity of the person who ends up sitting at his desk or her desk at the White House.
I'm sorry, Chief. I just can't discuss it an intellectual way like that. I'm really believing that Donald Trump is crazy because there's no way in the world he would be put in this position if he was crazy. He's acting. 12 years, he was taught how to act this way, and he's doing the same thing he did on his television show, firing and hiring and doing the same things. And we're all nervous about he's going to blow up the world. It's not going to happen. He would never be allowed to be the president. And I know I'm not answering your question, but it's just such a far out thing that we could actually believe this, and we think we're on the button of this. And when all this other stuff is going on, it's just like it boggles my mind that we could actually.
He may be doing what he's been doing for the last 12 years, but that's not an answer. Because it is possible that for the last 12 years, he's also had problems mentally. So that doesn't solve us. That doesn't give us a solution.
Truman crazy.
We know that the President of the United States, as a figurehead, as the head of state of this country, has enormous responsibilities. And one of them has to do with inspiring confidence. You know, Queen Elizabeth doesn't know how to, deal with nuclear bombs. But the fact that she's there, even as a figurehead, and she's seen as a rational person, not given to tantrums and crazy decisions at whim, a person who inspires confidence, and she may not have a thing to do with military policy, but her very presence and the authority that she exercises may be purely symbolic, but it's there. We don't have that in the United States with Trump. And as we heard earlier in the program, this is almost kind of unprecedented in our collective experience. We've never had a president so out of control. We've never had a president who bothers world leaders in the way he behaves and bothers senior level people, whether in politics or in foreign affairs, with the way he does things, which, by the way, many of which are totally illegal. So,
yeah.
How do you rein
him opinion.
In?
But that's your opinion and other callers on the show's opinion. That doesn't mean it's the fact.
It is a fact. When you make a sudden decision as if it were policy, by the way, he's not the only person responsible for making policy. When you pronounce that this is what is going to be done, I'm going to let loose the mother of all bombs and all of this kind of nonsense, that tells you you're out of control. This is not a movie. It is not a reality show. This is real life. And in the world, people react very, very stridently to things that they see. For example, when a president makes a statement, we're going to unleash the mother of all of all bombs, another president on the other side of the world may say, well, look, in as much as they're planning to bomb us, let's get our act together and let's bomb first. You know, this is the real world. This is how it works. So when you have somebody loose at the mouth and insists on doing things that even the military had to take a public position and said they will not do anything, they will not carry out any policy that is contrary to international law. The president is professing a commitment to committing acts against international law. So we have a problem. This is not just a procedural or administrative problem. This is a president who doesn't understand that he doesn't own the world. The world is not here to do as he says. He is, in fact, a servant of the people. But he's not behaving like that. Thanks a lot, Eve, for your call today. And thanks to all of you who participated today with your profound contributions. This is something we'll be continuing to discuss because it is a very, very valid and very important aspect of life for us today. Thanks. We'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.